Live On. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you five topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got five on
it. Now with special guest Russ Dorsey, the Major League Baseball insider and reporter for not just Yahoo, but Apple TV and Friday Night Baseball. Hi, Russ. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, friends. How are we doing?
You ready?
Always.
I like it.
He says he's ready.
Five on it. Number one.
How much of the Bears' offense have we actually seen so far?
I'm going to go so far as to say 7%. I think you can kind of gauge some formations, and I feel like once we heard Ben Johnson say that this was previously the Lions playbook when it came to preseason game plan, then we've seen some stuff, but you still can't really use it all. And I believed him when he made it sound like this is not what you're really going to see. However, I think we still saw some structural formation type things like tight wings, for example. We saw a little bit of a use in the last game of like trips right or trips left, depending. So some takeaways, but when it comes to what you really want to see, like the misdirection, for example, a little old school there with the misdirection and Tyson Bagent on a play or two. So for me, it was some 7, maybe 10% max, but I want to say it's a low percent.
7 to 10%. I like that. I like that. My answer is more simple than that. Enough. We've seen enough of it. Don't give it away. Don't spoil. It's like when you watch a trailer to a movie and then you go see the movie, it's like, that could have been the movie. No. Give me just a little bit.
A little taste.
Just a little taste. An idea of what the movie is about.
A trailer.
Enough to make me want to go see the movie. I don't need the plot. I don't need the specifics. All I need to know is who's in the movie and what's the general, what is this about?
Well, here's the thing, though, is don't you give credit to the trailer editor, though, once you realize the best parts of the movie were in the trailer?
I get upset when that happens. I get there's a movie on my mind right now. Captain America, Brave New World. You gave me the whole movie in the trailer. I could have just stayed home. And that made me very upset. And so Ben Johnson has given us enough. This is not his first rodeo. We definitely know vanilla as defenses are, that's not going to be an issue. But offensively, let that man cook and let him keep all the stuff in the kitchen, on the heating pads all around. And when it's time to eat, we'll eat. Guess what? Monday night, finally time to eat.
Yeah, I think 5%, because it's a small percentage, because I think when I think of offensive-minded head coaches, play callers, those dudes have plays upon plays upon plays. And so it's the shell of what they will likely be running for the next 17 weeks, but not anything where the Vikings can say, they're going to run this formation and this formation and this formation. We have it all figured out. No, I think when we get to Monday night, it will look vastly different than what we've seen.
You would say it was 5%.
Yes.
Terrible. I'm sorry.
No, it's good.
I've been gone. I'm back now. Whether or not you like it.
Five on it. Number two.
Are the Packers Super Bowl contenders now with Michael Parsons?
Don't do that to him. Put some respect on his name. You want him to hear this up there in Green Bay, kind of how he's next door to us, metaphorically football speaking? You want that man to get more motivation to see the Bears? You think he needs it?
Definitely not.
Oh, Michael Parsons. I wish it were Michael Parsons and not Micah Parsons. Are they Super Bowl contenders? I think that their defense is undoubtedly now probably a top five defense based on what we knew about it before. Man, you can tell yourself that perhaps their run defense took a hit. You can try to convince yourselves of that. I think they're going to turn the ball over even more now. And when I say that, I mean force them. I think you had better have your game plan together when you try to see this team. And I think you're going to find out real quick. Micah Parsons' lumbar injury doesn't concern me yet. When it becomes an issue and he's missing real time, then maybe. They made a four-year commitment to that man. Are they a Super Bowl contender, though? I don't know, because you still got a healthy Lions team that you're dealing with in your own division. You know, like the Eagles are still existing. The Rams put up a pretty good fight in the playoffs. I don't know that they're Super Bowl contenders necessarily.
A team that created 31 turnovers, which was just off of the Minnesota Vikings lead of 33 takeaways a year ago. Adds Micah Parsons. I'm sorry. They're definitely a Super Bowl contender. A lot of that depends on the quarterback play and the matchups and all that, but they are in the conversation for me, especially because they play in the NFC, not the AFC.
I take what you say with a grain of salt, because you also said the Steelers are Super Bowl contenders. When I think about the Packers, it has to do less with them and more with everybody else, to Layla's point. The Eagles are still there. The Commanders are still there. There's no evidence right now to say they're better than Minnesota or the Lions. Tampa's still pretty good. The Rams are still pretty good. And so that's 6 to 7 teams that we don't know that they're better than. So we have to put them in that 6, 7, even 8 slot. I don't think you're a Super Bowl contender if you're the 8th best team in the conference.
I think it's more open than you think. And the tiers, I think they're on that top tier now in the NFC.
I need evidence.
You know who's not a Super Bowl contender anytime soon, ever, forever, amen? The team who traded Micah Parsons.
But that run defense, though, they're going to be pretty good now.
Yeah.
At least that's what I hear.
If only they could, you know, rush the passer or pass the ball with more efficacy.
A lot of shootouts.
Oh, man.
Michael Parsons wasn't the Michael Jordan, Johnny Kilroy that it is, but both those guys doing work.
I just am amazed at all the people that I found who listen to our show. Not that part. We are happy about that, too. But who have faith in Jerry Jones. Friends, why?
Who?
I'm telling you, there's so many people asking, like, what did Jerry know? And I get it. That's a logical question to ask. But I need you to zoom out here. I need you to think about how I joke he'd draft Kenny Chesney if it meant he could, because he knew he'd sell at the stadium every time. You know?
Sounds like a team in town. It
sounds like an owner who knows how to step that valuation.
Did I talk to Michael?
Micah.
Can we also just play the bite of Jerry saying the word stadium? Because that's why I always say stadium. Like, that's hard to find, but like, you'll find it eventually. Also, how about some news? We got a little breaking news from Adam Johns, our friend of the Adams podcast. Breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Jalen Johnson said he was dealing with a groin injury, and that's what kept him out of camp.
Those can be tricky, those groin injuries.
Good to know. Oh, and we have more info from Mark Grody. How about this? He just texted and says, I'm going to send you guys that Jalen Johnson audio. Really good, as you would expect. Shake and bake, baby.
Can I ask something?
After 5 on it, you can, but we got to get through these 5 questions.
Right. Wait, I'm now.
Nope.
Listen.
I got to respect the clock, Layla.
It ain't all right. 4 on it.
It's 12:12. 5 on it continues with Russ Dorsey here and Raheem and Harris.
5 on it.
Number 3.
Switching to baseball. What exactly are the Cubs going to do with Carlos Santana?
That's what I asked when they made this acquisition, because I already know that you've got Justin Turner as part of your bench. I know that you've decided that you want to do something different with Owen Casey as part of your plan, which also concerns me, because I wanted him to stay. I wanted it to be a for real, we're bringing you up, Big Red. The onus is on you. Go get him. And then they go to the playoffs, and the 12-year-old with the red hair helps them and hits a bunch of clutch hits and movie. That's what I wanted. But I also respect the heck out of Carlos Santana. He's got a threat for power. I still appreciate his resume, especially as a Sox observer for many years. So I'm assuming it's use him more than Justin Turner.
I think it gives them much more flexibility when you talk about pinch hitting and end of game situations. A guy that not only can do what you just said, but also because he's a switch hitter, now that lefty righty thing doesn't become as incumbent as it was. Like, okay, Michael Bush, now Justin Turner, now we burned. Oh, wait, no, you still have Carlos Santana, who can also go out there and play a gold glove level of first base if you put him in. So I like the flexibility this adds. And Owen Casey notwithstanding, we'll talk about that later. I just think it adds another veteran bat. And this time you need the guys who have been there, done that. He fills that as a guy who has had a long and storied decade plus career as a proven major league hitter.
It's a guy who, as a switch hitter, doesn't really have that much difference from either side of the plate. He's been a better right-handed hitter against left-handed pitching, above 800 in his career. Also really solid defensively over at first base. I believe he was the oldest player to ever win a gold glove at first base. And so that's always helpful. A guy that's played in the postseason before. It's just add a veteran, you know, clubhouse presence at this time of year, invaluable.
Yeah, I like him too. Now that he's not facing the White
Sox. I don't know if he's
going
to be good, but I can see why you try to do it.
Do you remember when he was on deck and the Cubs ended up closing out the game one batter before him? And I thought to myself, ugh. Carlos Santana was on deck. I still have that kind of respect for him.
We'll see.
Five on it. Number four.
The Chicago White Sox got their 50th win of the season yesterday. Can we say this has been a good season for the Sox?
No. It has not been a good season.
No,
it has
been
a better season for the White Sox. But hey, look at what we're comparing it to. We're comparing it to the most losses
in
all
the history of Major League Baseball.
Worst season in the history of baseball.
All time. So yes, it has been a
Lucas
better
Giolito.
Season.
Lucas Giolito. No, I'm just kidding.
There are reasons, Lucas Giolito notwithstanding, why the future looks brighter than it did 365 days ago. But at the same time, there is still tons of work that needs to be done. Tons of guys that you need to see up out of their minor league system and producing, specifically on the pitching side, by the way, mm-hmm. which I thought was going to be the thing you were going to have more optimism about at this point this season. It has not been the case. I think they've got a bunch of guys, not that all of them will be a part of their future for the next 5 to 10 years, but they've got a few guys that they can pick from and say, if two or three of these guys pan out, they decide to actually spend some Ishbia money or whoever's money, they could be all right.
Yeah, I you can't call a season where you lose 100 games a good season.
That's not guaranteed.
Well, it's trending in that direction. Either way, that's not good. But there's been lots of growth. Growth is good as a concept. You've seen development. You've seen players that you wanted to see good things out of, i.e. Colson Montgomery. You've seen him do the things that made him a tantalizing prospect, but there's still more work to be done. 2026, you need to see even more growth, right? You don't want to be near 100 losses as a franchise. So have they done some things right? Yes. Have they grown? Yes. Have they developed? Yes. Is this a good season? No. Because as a franchise, as an organization, you should always hold yourself to a much higher standard.
I'm going to say yes. It is a good season for them. And unfortunately, we do have to hold them to their standards.
No.
Yeah. In this case, yeah, that's a 20-game improvement. 21 if they lose a flat 100 games. 21-game improvement. And yeah, they had the worst season ever. But when I consider how I feel about who is evaluating what now as opposed to last year, and I'm not saying Chris Getz necessarily, I'm saying hiring Will Venable as the manager, making decisions that were somewhat bold like they did with Colson Montgomery, sending him to Arizona to get right. You know, a lot of teams want to, I wouldn't say win minor league championships when they have that type of major league record, but you know the kinds that want to pound their chest, wrestle a little bit about their farm system. And I think there are other organizations who would have kept him there, you know, in one of the minor league spots, either AA or AAA, to work his way out of it. So I thought that was somewhat of a bold decision. Do I love the fact that they had to option their opening day starter? No. But when I consider how this could have looked, given who was in charge of making decisions and what some of the other outcomes could have been, I think that it's a good season.
I just want you to hold the White Sox to your Bears standards because the GM's still there and they were bad, just like the Bears were bad last year. I need the standard to be higher.
The difference is the expectation. Like, I've held the White Sox to those standards, and it was in 2021 when I thought they hired the wrong manager, and I got hell for it then. But you know what? The point was at that time you had a playoff team that you let a manager affect the outcome. So different standards for different times of what they're doing. This is investment mode, and I feel like they've made some decent investments.
Five on it.
Number five.
Will Bill Belichick make it through a season at North Carolina?
Yes, and you know why? Because North Carolina is a public university and they publish their contracts. 5 years, $50 million contract. 3 years guaranteed, $10 million annually. If you do that buyout math, that's a lot of money the state of North Carolina has to pay. Is it Jimbo Fisher money? No, but you know what? Texas billionaires are doing a lot better work for the states of America paying football coaches and they are making other decisions. So in this case, I don't think North Carolina has that kind of cash. I don't think that they can afford to buy out those dollars.
We're about to get one of the answers to one of the greatest questions ever, which is, can you teach an old dog new tricks? And why I say that is because I've seen Bill Belichick struggle when he lands with an organization.
Can you also teach new tricks, old dogs?
Well, that too. But Cleveland Browns back in 1991, 6-10. New England Patriots in 2000, year one, 5-11. The next year, Super Bowl champion. If Bill Belichick really is Bill Belichick, the greatest coach of all time, as I've been told by so many people from my friends who live in the Northeast portion of this country, then he'll be able to find a way to have them as ACC contenders at the least next season. This year, it's a learning experience for everyone involved. Maybe next year he'll do a better job with not only recruiting, but also that NIL portal and that NIL money. Transfer it out. Get the guys you need. Go to work, Bill Belichick. But we're going to find out in 2 years. I think he'll make it through this year, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Bill gets fired or decides to leave, because you wouldn't fire a Bill Belichick. And Bill, with all he's accomplished, wouldn't walk away after 1 year. I am fascinated by the entire thing, because college football, especially in this day and age, is not the NFL. And so, will Bill get out on the recruiting trail, right? Like, that's something you have to do as a college football coach if you want to be in that conversation for the ACC championship or get in the college football playoff. That might be a little too much in terms of what we're talking about here. But yeah, I don't know where this goes. I don't know how this ends up, but I do think we see Bill there for at least 2 years.
Yeah, I think so too. He's a mission critical type of guy. He's not going to, I don't think he walks away like that, given who he is as a coach. I think that's not how you want to be remembered for how you left it all. You know, that's where I sit with it too.
Jordan's not walking away. I'm sure of that.
Fair. I thought you meant Michael Jordan for a second, and then I realized you meant Jordan Hudson.
Yes.
Yeah, that was one I needed some clarification
on. My bad.
I'm like, I'm pretty sure Michael Jordan probably left before the game ended, just like so many fans.
Oh, man.
Woo.
He was there last night.
We have more to talk about with Russ Dorsey next here on Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score. Let's get into a little more of the baseball talk. Marshall, of course, made a bold claim when it came to the division while we were trying to talk about the Cubs. I want to get into a little bit of the Cubs and Braves game with you from yesterday. I think there's a lot of issues there that we can discuss that are good. So we'll do all of that next. More with Russ Dorsey here on Raheemy and Harris on The Score.
Russell Dorsey, national MLB insider for Yahoo Sports.
For all the heat that Kyle Tucker has taken, I don't feel like in this city that Pete Crow Armstrong has gotten the same smoke and has been worse.
Insider and analyst for Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV Plus.
Can't just be Michael Bush doing his thing and then nobody behind him doing anything else. They have to hit as a collective. And so for 3 months of this year, they hit as a collective. That's why you're the best offense in baseball.
Russell Dorsey.
What's up, Russ?
On 670 The Score.
The Score.
We are always thrilled to have Russ Dorsey here in studio with us. We are the Hangout Show, Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score. You're hanging out with us. Well, now Russ is too, and he is here. Like we said, works for Apple TV Plus, Major League Baseball Insider, and also a dude who has opinions about other sports, so we love talking to him about it all. That's why we have a little more Breaking Bears news. We love to hear it. Breaking Bears news on The Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. What would you like first, captains or left tackle?
Let's go with the left tackle.
Russ?
he hates That's, this topic. I mean, he knows yeah. we need to address it.
Yeah, we got to talk
I'm
about it.
I'm obsessed with it and have been for all of my life.
I don't want to talk about it because I know what you're about to say.
All right, the Bears starting left tackle per Kevin Fishbane for week one, Braxton Jones.
I'm shocked. This is my shocked and
pain
face.
Do I think that Kevin Fishbane made the decision? No, I think he's the one who represented the announcement. But yes, Braxton Jones. I'm not surprised by this at all, but I still want to know how you got here. How? So what is it you say you do here? Because I'm pretty sure you drafted a 6'8" right tackle with the 56th overall pick in the draft that you decided that you wanted to play a left tackle, and then he didn't play there anymore. And then you had that guy who was drafted in the third round who is not playing consistently.
Forget about that.
And then you had the other guy who was from Canada who was undrafted and then became part of the race.
Benedict.
Theo Eggs Benedict.
Oh,
you guys just created so much magic in like 2 seconds.
Last week, I was on with Lawrence, and I was just like, what's that dude's name? Theo Eggs Benedict? And so it stuck. So that's what I'm going to call him now.
Benedict.
It's Theo Eggs Benedict and Canadian bacon. That's the meal.
Was he the one who sang Love by Keisha Cole?
No.
I don't think Canadians know about Love by Keisha Cole.
No, somebody last year sang Love, and I forget who it was at the karaoke challenge.
I'm pretty sure it was not a Canadian. I'm going to throw that out there.
Why?
All I know is
they speak English.
The fact that
except for the people in Montreal,
they put the letter U in flavor.
They got Flavour. Back to Braxton Jones. I don't like if you put Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles in a room and said all off the record. I think they would likely tell you, yeah, we didn't necessarily want Braxton to win the job.
My God.
But the other guys.
Oh no. They've told us that with how they've treated this entire competition the whole way. Last week saying, we're not ready to announce a left tackle because no one has grabbed the job by the horns. I think that the real question, I'm sure we'll get this as we get Ben Johnson audio in, Layla and Russ, is this. Did Braxton Jones win the job or did no one else take it?
It was Austin Reed who sang Love. Okay. Also unexpected. Never knew what I was missing. In this case, I still don't know what I'm missing because the same dude has been playing at left tackle mostly the whole time except when he was injured. I think the issue is this. You have to find out what the real potential was with a better offensive line around you to isolate who the best person was for the job. Is it ideal? No. But do you still have more answers about somebody more accurately than you had last season about that position? Unfortunately, yes. You know, is it the best solution? No. But at least you have an understanding of who is the best fit for there for now.
Can I be meatbally as Tyler alluded to me being earlier? I'm going to be meatbally in this moment.
You do like doing that.
BBT's facial expressions are priceless. He's just grinning over there.
No, because meatball Marshall.
Here's why. The one thing I can actually be optimistic about in this situation after hearing the sound from Mark Grody's interview with Braxton Jones following a preseason game is this. He's not at 100% yet. He is still working his way back. So maybe the potential has not been reached for Braxton Jones compared to what we've seen throughout training camp in the preseason.
Who has more potential, healthy Braxton Jones or Ozzie Trapillo?
Ozzie Trapillo probably has more potential.
But that's more about experience, and it's going to take him time to get. I think Ozzie Trapillo can't get the experience he needs as quickly as Braxton Jones can get to full strength, health-wise.
I also feel terrible just from a conscience standpoint because Braxton Jones's interviews are always informative and nice. Like, he's somebody you want to use on your team.
Transparent also.
Yes. Like, I really enjoy him as a person. And is he the guy who I'm drawing a play up for in space because I know he can move a little bit for a big dude if I'm Ben Johnson? Yes.
When healthy.
Yes.
Let's just get a tight end on that side too.
I'm gonna need some chip into
like,
me.
Like, let's get a little chip. Can I get a chip?
I mean, there has to be, right? Like that. You're
Lay's,
right. That
Doritos, has, like, whatever you want. Just give me some chips.
Given this information, here's what you don't want to have happen. And you know, we talked about Russ' objectives for the Bears. Like, if you're putting your head coaching hat on, what you want to see them game for this week. Like, what are you trying to accomplish, and how do you get there? So we had a lot of really good answers and really good feedback. But like, knowing this, don't start the ball game empty. I don't care what you're trying to figure out with your life.
Five wide.
I the last thing I want to see is that kind of concept, or I would say hubris, you know, as an offensive coordinator. And maybe Ben Johnson does it because he's better at this than I am, and he outthinks everybody. But I don't care. Protect 18.
First,
just make him feel a little bit decent.
First 15 plays, you're going to see. They're going to move the football. I think they're going to go up tempo. They're going to move the platform with play action. And I'm going to really like that. It's like, yeah, let's move the ball down the field. Let Caleb get in a rhythm. And then I'm interested to see what happens after the first 15 plays.
Also, a heavy dose of the run game is going to come in that first 15.
Do we know that?
Yeah, I'm very confident.
Run game
to establish.
In a screen sure. capacity?
Whatever. Just it's going to be more than just Caleb Williams dropping back and yes. doing
this. I do think they want to, you know, do that.
Establish the
set
run.
The tone.
Twitch is cracking me up today, and you can see Russ Dorsey on Twitch as well. Twitch.tv/Chicago670
sleeves.
Hologram Harry says, I want the first snap to be another tribute to the T formation.
No.
You know what, though? What if it is? And then it just goes crazy after that. It turns into some other misdirection spread play, and it's like,
the
woo!
West Coast offense after all that. Just,
I love that
just
you're still
points.
Calling it West Coast offense.
Just score points.
Russell Dorsey.
Get yards. How about just get yards?
That too.
That's Russell Dorsey's voice here on Raheem and Harris as we talk about baseball, but do we really talk about baseball? Because we've got breaking news. Braxton Jones is your left tackle.
Is there more?
Yeah.
In week one. Oh, there's more.
We have
more. Because we have captains. Layla's going to hit you with that right now.
Kevin Fishbane announcing that Ben Johnson announced Bears captains are... Does anybody want to take a guess as to who like number one would be?
Caleb Williams.
He is on the list.
Well, it's either Caleb Williams or Joe Tooney. Or
he is also on the list. So Joe Tooney, Caleb Williams, you have 1, 2, 3 more.
I'll go Byard.
That's number 3.
Is this like Family
Wait,
Feud
didn't
style?
Didn't you read this already? Is that
I looked a little bit.
Okay.
But these would have been my guesses regardless.
Who's number 4?
We have 2 offensive guys, 1 defensive guy. Is there another defensive guy?
There is another defensive guy.
I'm going to say not Jalen Johnson. How about that?
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Shade.
Wow. Jalen Johnson's going to come for you, and I'm not going to say anything.
Is he on the list?
I'm going to have you two talk it out amongst yourselves.
Is TJ Edwards on that list?
Shockingly, no. And that's the one where you might have seen TJ. Because he's so responsible.
I thought based off the season he had last year and the kind of the respect... I thought that would get him the nod.
Are there any
not.
Chicago natives on the list?
No, there is one Brazilian native.
Oh, Cairo Santos.
Correct. So that leaves one more. He's from a place where you use the word strength and not strength.
Not Grady Jarrett.
Yes, Grady Jarrett has been named a captain.
That makes sense.
No, you know what? This is a good balance of guys who you want to be leaders, not necessarily because they're longtime Bears. It's a new era. It's a new era. So it's almost good that Grady Jarrett and Joe Tooney, two guys who were not on this team last year, I said it's almost good. No, it is good, are both on this team as captains.
I think also, and again, it just speaks to more of, we had multiple names that we could have brought up. Like TJ Edwards, we're like, oh, not TJ, but he's so responsible. And he played his tail off last season. And when things were going on around him that were terrible, he still was remaining consistent. Like the fact that you have multiple people to choose from where we're bringing things like this up, I think that's good. But when you consider that a lot of the most vocal people last year, when it came to telling you about the problems of this team, and I think sounding the alarm, are not on that list, that tells you a lot too. Cole Kmet's not on that list.
I think it's also telling that the players the Bears actually drafted aren't the majority of the players on the list. It's guys from outside the organization. Not homegrown guys are running the captaincy.
That's fine with me.
But do we know how it happened? Like, do we know if they were voted upon or if they were chosen? Like, that's a big deal.
All of this is new information to me. So I'm going to assume players voted. If
yeah,
I had
the players
to guess.
Did vote. The players yeah, did vote.
The
yeah.
players did vote. Okay, well, that's big, too, to know, Robbie. Thank you for that information.
You're welcome.
And I think it also comes to the question that we had. And it was brought up. I actually said this previously. We were talking about, okay, who are your leaders on the Cubs, for example? Like, this is September. Let's go. You know, again, let's ask the same question for the Bears. You know, who are the leaders on this team? And I think you're a little more confident answering that this year than you were perhaps at this time last year.
Having guys in the room that people respect, to tie it back into baseball, one of the things about former Chicago Cub, Kyle Schwarber, that you always hear is he is one of the best teammates you will find in Major League Baseball. He's one of the best leaders you will find in Major League Baseball. And on a team where he's not the best, quote-unquote, player, he is this year, in Philly, because most – people would say, oh, Bryce Harper, when he's having the Bryce Harper MVP type of year, 2-time MVP, that's your best player, mm-hmm. but your best leader is a Kyle Schwarber. I think if we tie this in with the Bears, it might not always be your Montez Sweat that might be your best defensive player. Jalen Johnson might be your best defensive player, but you look at a Grady Jarrett who's played in Super Bowls, who's been at the mountaintop, who's seen what it's supposed to look like. You bring that guy in like, yo, I know what it was like around here, but for us to get where we need to go, this is what we need to do.
I think that's a good topic to establish. Let's cook on that a little bit more in our next segment. I do want to talk to you about the week that Kyle Schwarber has had and how it put me in a feelings type of place, Russ Dorsey. So let's do a little bit more on that. Bears news, as we mentioned, we will bring you more from Halas All. It is a busy day there. Mark Grody is working on it too. And we have September baseball. I call it blessed, people. We continue it next on Rahimi and Harris with Russ Dorsey on 670 The Score.
Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
This is Rahimi and Harris. Russ Dorsey joins us in studio for the hour. Russ Dorsey, the Apple TV insider for MLB. Yahoo Sports. The man has a lot of baseball resume.
I like how the music's washing over you as you make the. You're getting in rhythm with the music.
Yeah, I really like the music. I've missed music. I don't listen to enough of it. As in, I listen to like an hour of it a day, and I need more. More. We have Bears news, as we mentioned. The news from Kevin Fishbane that Braxton Jones is your starting left tackle. And the captains for the Bears have been announced. Players voted on them, according to reports. They are Joe Tooney, Caleb Williams, you've heard of him, Kevin Byard, the safety, Grady Jarrett, and Cairo Santos, the kicker. Cairo Santos being rewarded for perhaps his offseason efforts.
It's the leg strength. The increased leg strength has gotten him more with his teammates. They're like, oh, okay, high trajectory on these kicks. You know what? You're higher up on our captaincy.
It's like working on your three, getting the bigger arc on your three.
Can I ask you guys something?
Always. Is this the question from Five on It?
Yes.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
The Jalen Johnson situation, I think we've identified as being extremely weird since the start. If it was a groin injury this whole time, what was the harm in saying, hey, Jalen's dealing with a groin injury, it's going to keep him out for a little while, and then it's done? Like, why are we finding out less than a week before week one that that's what it was?
The short answer is that they don't have to tell us because the injury reports aren't a thing yet. But technically, that's still the case, except for now they put Jalen Johnson out in front of the media. So, of course, he's talking about it.
Well, we knew about other people's injuries. Like, we knew when there was a hamstring injury. We knew when there were, like, the details for other people's soft tissue injuries, like Luther Burden, for example.
I think the reason why is because it was that non-football injury list. He was on a different list than the, like, something happened at the facility.
Jalen was on an NFI list.
Right. So I think that's why he falls under a separate category, maybe in their minds, or maybe Jalen just didn't want to talk about it and they respected his decision.
Maybe. But it's like, that's a significant enough injury from what they made it sound like to be like, hey, Jalen's not going to be practicing. We're hoping to get him back before the season starts and we'll update you as need be. Then you just put it into all the speculation. They just never did that.
Well, we're also going to talk about this with Adam Amin, who joins us in studio in about 10 minutes. So while we've got you here, Russ.
Yeah.
September baseball is upon us. We just saw the Cubs come back down 5 runs to beat the Braves in a walk-off. Mm-hmm. How are you seeing September shape up, not just for the Cubs, but what are you keying in on right now this week, getting ready for playoff races to really kick it up?
To me, the goal for the Cubs is scoring runs. Like, you need to be able to score runs consistently by the time we get to the wild card round at the end of the month. Because I think when you look at where they were as the best offense in baseball, then they go through that stretch where nobody was hitting and they didn't look like the best offense in baseball. Then we started to see them score in bunches and they have a couple games where they don't score. Then they score in bunches. Then, like, can you get back to being consistent? Would be my thing that I'm looking for with the Cubs in the month of September. Like, we know that they're going to be in the postseason, but for you to move on past the wild card round, for you to get to the NLDS to play the Milwaukee Brewers, you're going to have to score runs in a consistent pace. Like, this gives you a month of runway for PCA to figure it out. It gives you a month to have Seiya Suzuki figure it out. You've seen Ian Happ really start to swing the bat well over the last week plus. So that if that continues, that's another feather in your cap of like, all right, Ian's hitting from both sides of the plate, getting on base at a high clip, hitting the ball of the ballpark. But it needs to be as a collective, them being able to score runs.
I'm more concerned. I think that's coming, but I'm more concerned with the bullpen right now, the back end of the bullpen. The trust level is low for me right now after seeing Daniel Palencia falter it on a number of occasions over, let's say, a two-week stretch.
I think the thing about Palencia is you knew that it was not your original plan when you decided to put him in that role, and he had done the job of the role that was expected, but how is he performing relative to himself, you know, and how long would that go? Based on previous performance that he had prior to this year, you know, the indication was maybe that wasn't going to be the way it was going to be for the whole time. I still think he's got to be the one you're closing with, but like, even for example, we've seen other guys recently in high leverage situations. You know, there's Brad Keller, there's Andrew Kittredge, who, you know, got brought in and to ultimately be the last pitcher who threw yesterday, for example. And that's a day where, you know, the ball's flying at Wrigley. So I take those things into consideration. Also, credit to Aaron Civale, because I did not think that he was going to be one of the most important people in the NL Central this year, but my goodness, he's turned out to be one.
I think to go to Palencia first, when you say that you were going to trust a rookie to be your closer in a playoff chase, like, this is one of the things you deal with. Like, it's a guy that gets very emotional on the mound, a guy with a big arm like that. You worry about the command of the fastball sometimes. We've seen that a little bit more here lately. I'm going to be fair to him and say he's been lights out for them all year long, and it's really hard to hit 101.
Yep.
Right? Straight up. It's hard to hit 101, but you got to be able to command 101. And at this time of year, it's high leverage in the regular season, and there's high leverage in the postseason. It's different. It's a different level. You've seen Hall of Fame closers lose command in big moments in the postseason before. Like, Aroldis Chapman, for a long time, has had struggles in the postseason, and he's been one of the most dominant relievers in the history of Major League Baseball. So that's something you're going to have to watch for sure. And you hope that you give him a month to figure things out again. But you can't get to those situations if you don't score enough runs. You know what I mean? Like, you want those high leverage moments to matter, and they matter if you're scoring runs and you're trying to hold leads late.
How much do you think the rest of this month and what happens after determines the future of Kyle Tucker in Chicago?
I don't think anything that happens going forward affects that. Like, I think
that's a strictly off-season matter.
Yeah, that's a strictly off-season matter. Like,
I think
Kyle
he's
Tucker
probably lost a lot
going
of money.
To free agency is a whole separate thing. To Layla's point right there, yeah, I think you could say that. Like, I think the conversation was in the 500s, and you're talking about what Vladimir Guerrero Jr. got as an extension. I don't think the conversations are there anymore. But I also think something we talked about last week, Marshall, he's never been bad in his career. And so I think that's something you have to keep in perspective of him as a player going forward, even if he leaves the Chicago Cubs. It's like, he's never been bad as a player. Maybe it was like, you're in a rut, you break the finger, you're trying to fix your swing, maybe you overcompensate, and then things fall off the rails. But also, things fell off the rails for the entire offense. It wasn't just Kyle Tucker, as we've talked about for a couple weeks now. So yeah, I don't think what happens over the next 30 days affects that at all.
He's back on track, which is the most important part of this.
Yeah.
If he's hitting, the possibilities are endless. And one last thing, the Brewers leaking oil.
Yeah, that's something that I still think at this point in time in the standings, like, to get back 5.5 or 6 games, that's a tough jump, especially when you don't have any more head-to-head matchups. But yeah, they're not unbeatable. They've been able to tread water, to your point. I think you thought after Toronto and Philly,
I said they go 3-3. They're still going to go 3-3. Watch.
Well, you said that the Cubs would have a better West Coast swing than
I
they did.
I can't keep track of all the records.
The sweep of the Giants, did not see that coming.
Yeah.
You lose 2 out of 3 to the Giants. To get swept by the Giants?
But yeah, I think Milwaukee has some things to figure out here, especially in the back end of their bullpen without Trevor McGill. It's huge.
Yeah, and then we got the news about the elbow popping, too.
Shelby Miller.
Yeah. And that's I still have a lot of respect for Shelby Miller. Russ Dorsey, thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks, guys.
Bears news today.
I appreciate it, as always.
The Dorsey fam representing. I know you have
Hi,
a lot
Dad.
Of sports thoughts. Well, that was Russ Dorsey. We love to talk to him. You can catch his work on Yahoo. He is their Major League Baseball insider, and on Apple TV Plus Friday Night Baseball. Where's the game this week for you? As I ask you while you're drinking
The Cubs are on Friday Night Baseball early. And then the late game is the Brewers and the Pirates. Friday Night Baseball, Apple TV Plus.
Ah, just nice. NL Central. Plenty.
Yeah.
Good to know. That's Russ Dorsey. We talk more Bears with Adam Amin. And yes, we have a Bulls question for him.
Oh, my goodness.
That's coming up next here at Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score.